Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast. Thank you for joining us. Great to be with you for another one of these podcasts. We're going to talk about some tips of faith, and I'm going to give you six simple steps for answered prayer. And most of these are things you've heard before, but a good refresher so that you can know that you're moving forward in the right way. I get asked questions along these lines. Hey, I've done this and I've done this. What else do I do? And so hopefully this will be a good summary of your part. What is my part when it comes to faith? So step number one, if you're going to believe the Lord for something, let me start by reading 1 John 5:14 and 15. It says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." You know, you read this scripture and it almost seems at first like an oversimplification of how faith works. Of like, if you can just pray something that's God's will, then God's heard you and the answer is yes. But that's what it is. You've heard the phrase, faith begins with the will of God is known. The first thing you have to figure out is it God's will? And it seems straightforward, but for many believers, they never figure out that God's okay with them getting an answer to that. And the devil will try to talk you out of it where you don't actually believe it's God's will. So you need to get concreted first and foremost in your heart that God is okay with you having what you're asking for. And the enemy's come up with all sorts of things. You know, sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says wait a while. And it's like, well, that's not scripture. The Bible says in him all the promises of God are yes and amen. And so before you pray, before you command, before you move forward, knowing and settling in your heart that that it is God's will for you to be healed now. And anything that is God's will for you, when it comes to finances, when it comes to those things, it's you need to get it settled that it's God's will for you and it's God's will for you now. If you're 12 years old praying for a spouse, it is God's will for you, but it's not God's will for you now, right? So there are things that are in the timing of the Lord. I don't believe healing fits into that situation. We don't see anyone Jesus saying to anybody, come back, your healing's next year this time. So healing is now, salvation is now, prosperity is now. But there are, Lord, I'd like to have a boat. Well, I'd like to have a Mercedes. Well, you're 9 years old, so it's not the time, right? So, but is it God's will and settling that in your heart? And if you're going to pray for vacation, how do you know God wants you to go on vacation? Well, I'd like to take 2 weeks off and go take my family to Disney World. Okay, good. How do you know? What's the scripture you're using for that? So whatever it is, you need to be able to have a confidence in your heart that it's God's will. I'm not saying it's not God's will. I'm provoking you to figure out from the word, what is your scripture that you will be able to look me in the eyes and say, no, I know it is God's will because the word says this. So number one is get that scripture and get it cemented in your heart. Number two, you have to make a decision. The enemy will try to back you off of believing God for things. You say, Lord, I'm going to believe you for 2 weeks vacation, money, money to go to this place. It's going to be $7,000 for me, whatever the deal is, right? So this is what I'm believing for. And then you pray or you command and you speak the word. And then the enemy comes and says, well, do you really need 2 weeks? How about just 5 days? And he'll try to back you down. He's going to try to lessen that you're not believing for something as big. Well, you know, and so you have to decide once you see it in the word, God's okay for me to have this. You decide and you move forward. If you're believing for healing, well, you know, this has taught you how to live, you know, humbly before the Lord, and it's brought you closer to the Lord. And so maybe it is God's will, whatever the deal is, right? So there's people who've put up with many infirmity, much sickness in the name of the devil backs them down off what the faith that leaps in their heart for their answered prayer. And then over time, the enemy can talk people down. So you have to decide, I'm not going to be double-minded. Let's read in the book of James. The Bible says in the book of James, let me find this here, James 1, verse 5, it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If you go back and forth, yes, the Lord's going to give me a car. Yes, the Lord to, well, maybe I should be believing for a bicycle. If you go back and forth and you waver, you haven't made up your mind. It's important in faith that once you've made a decision in your spirit about what you're going after, that you make that decision in your mind as well, and you don't let yourself get talked out of it. There has to be a point where you say, it doesn't matter what I see, this is what I've decided. I have decided, and I'm not going to be talked out of it. So make up your mind. Decide very specifically what it is you're standing your ground for. And then number three, just a little pointer for your faith, is know God is generous. Know that He's generous. Meditating on God's generosity will be a great help for your faith. If you're believing the Lord for healing, still. If you're believing the Lord for finances, same thing. Meditating on God's generosity. James 1, 5 says, He gives to all men liberally and without reproach. Liberally is generous giving. His name is El Shaddai. He's the God of more than enough. He's the God who multiplied the fish and the loaves and had 12 basketfuls left over, and I believe 7 baskets full the next time. Either he can't count or he's trying to prove a point that he's El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. It's his nature to go over and above. It's his nature to blow our minds. It's his nature to have more than enough. He doesn't just have one type of banana in the garden. There's not one type of banana on the earth. There's not one type of mango. There's dozens of different types of mangoes because he's the God of more than enough. So meditating on God's goodness, meditating on his generosity. And then number four is knowing that your faith will always work for you. Your faith will always work for you. There are times, if you're believing the Lord, that your faith can carry other people, but knowing that your faith will always work for you. I'm going to pause on that point, but you need to have an assurance that your faith will work for you. The enemy's going to try and attack you in your faith, but you say, thank you, Lord, I have faith. Thank you, Lord, my faith works. The word is working and my faith works. Don't doubt your faith. Doubt your doubts. Number five, assure your hearts before God. Really, this comes down to your right standing with God. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, and it says verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us or judge us, we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. You have to be able to, in your faith, assure your heart before God. And that's in your walk with the Lord, that you know that you are righteous before God. If the enemy can keep you feeling unworthy, unloved, unrighteous, you know, I'm always making mistakes, I always screw up. You know, you can't stay in that mindset. Yes, maybe there was a time that you were living in sin, but if your heart is perfect towards God, which what I mean is that you say, Lord, more than anything, I want to please you. You don't have weekend plans to go out and sin. You're living a pure life. The cry of your heart is, Lord, I desire more than anything to be right with you, and that you have a perfect heart towards God. Yes, sometimes we make mistakes, but you need to be able to get past that mindset of, I'm a screw up, always make mistakes. You're not. Your heart is perfect towards God. God looked at Job and said he's perfect, and that's because his heart was perfect towards God. And so for us, it's the same deal. Our heart's perfect towards God, and we can assure our hearts before the Lord. And that's such a key, because if you don't see yourself as righteous, if you don't see yourself as loved, if you can't get yourself to just believe what the Word says, that God loves you and he's on your side and that you're holy and you're washed in the blood, and that's the key to answered prayer. He said it here. I'll read that last part again in 1 John 3. He says, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, if our heart's free from guilt, condemnation, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God, which means we can go in and ask. This is the confidence that we have in him if we ask anything. It's a confidence. And then it talks about answered prayer, verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. If you can stand with a good conscience and say, Lord, as much as I know, I do everything that pleases you. Lord, I'm not aiming. I don't have a secret life on the side. I don't have secrets that I'm keeping. I don't have a section of my life that's off limits to you. Lord, as much as I know, my life is pleasing to you, and I want my life to please you, and I want my life to bear fruit. and I humble myself before you, then you can have confidence that when you pray, God hears you because your heart is clean. The Bible says those who regard iniquity in their heart, God will not hear their prayers. That's in Psalms. And so having that confidence that when we pray, our heart's clean before God. And then finally, number six is expect divine instruction. And if you listen to the last one that we did about presumption versus faith, we talked a lot about divine instruction and that God doesn't always give the same instruction every time. He said to Moses, strike the water with the rod, and he struck it and it parted. And then he said, strike the rock, and it gave up water. And then he said, grab the rod and speak to the rock. So the two times before, he had struck the rod onto the water, the water had parted, struck the rock with the rod the second time. And then God said, get the rod. And so Moses is thinking, it's time to strike. And God said, speak to the rock. And because of his disobedience, he was just going with what he knew. And sometimes it's not always that. The Lord might have it where the Lord blesses you one way, one time, and then another way, a different time. So it may be, as an example, if you're believing for finances, you may have someone come up and say, I want to bless you. Here's $1,000. Or you get a Zelle, or you get someone who calls you, hey, I want to buy you a car. And then you think, cool, the Lord's providing for me by sending someone to give me money. And then the next time it may be that you go to pray and then you really feel, man, I need to go and talk to this person at church. And then you talk to them and they're like, hey, I have a job. Do you want to? And the blessing comes in the form of a job. And that's where your financial blessing is. And if you're like, no, the Lord's called me to be here at school and I just need to focus on school. Well, the Lord's provision this month is work. Where last month it may have been a Pentecostal handshake, right? It may be a stock ticker in your dream. And then the Lord gives you that stock ticker and then it works. And then the next month it's not that. It's something else. It's something you put your hand to that's maybe doesn't come as easily, but God's trying to develop something because he wants to develop the listening ear. So expect divine instruction. You know, I was just thinking about some of the testimonies that we've had, my wife and I, in, you know, the Lord paying for my truck and the Lord paying off this house. And with a lot of them, there was a prayer where I asked the Lord, Father, I'm asking you for this in the name of Jesus. Your word says this. But then with all of them, there was a time of commanding where I was praying the one morning and I saw myself commanding the mountain of debt in regards to my house. And I said, in the name of Jesus, you mountain of debt, be removed and be cast into the sea in Jesus' name. And it was within a few days of that action of faith that I knew God had spoken. I knew it was the key. That's what got us the victory. So if there hadn't been that commanding, if I would have said, well, you know, I don't need a command. It was listening for the divine instruction of God. And I could give you testimony after testimony of people. Like I'll tell you one in healing school where I was walking down the line during the anointing service, laying hands on people, Jesus, 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 going down the line. And I got to this guy and I just got this like frustration in my spirit. And I was under the anointing, and that was the comfort knowing that I was under the anointing. But it happened so fast, but I got this frustration. I reached back and I slapped him in the stomach. Boom! And he fell down. And it surprised my mind. It surprised me. But I knew I was in the spirit when I did it. And I had never done that before, and I don't believe I've done it since. I hit him in the stomach. He fell. And I thought to myself, well, that's strange. I hope, you know, and I just kept going. You know, the next day he came up to me and he said, I just want to say thank you, Pastor Ryan. He said, I woke up and I've been dealing with demonic oppression. And I just said, Lord, whatever you have to do, just slap the devil out of me. And here I come, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I reach back and slap the guy in the stomach. Well, that was a divine instruction. And so there are things where you may pray it when you're praying in faith. And then you say, well, to be able to answer, what is my part? Have I done my part? Well, that's your part. Number one is getting God's will, getting the scripture, knowing that it's God's will. Number two is deciding so you're not going to be double-minded. Number three is knowing God is generous. That's just a help for your faith. Knowing, number four, your faith will always work for you. Number five, assuring your hearts before God. And then expect divine instruction. Faith is action. Faith acts. Expect divine instruction. And then I'll add a number seven in there as well, is praise and rejoice and celebrate. There comes a point where you know you've got the victory and then you just celebrate and you dance, and maybe you don't have it in your hand now, but you got the victory in your spirit and you're rejoicing. And then there's a knock on the door and then you got it in your hand. Amen. I love you. God bless you. If this has helped you, thanks for everyone who shared that. We had a great response from the last one on faith and presumption. Thank you for everyone who shared it. And if you haven't listened to it, please go back and listen to it. For the rest, we love you, and we will see you soon.